Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson. It's the giving time of year. As the holiday season approaches, many people think about charitable donations. Philanthropy can take many forms, and one common outlet is foundations. These organizations are typically nonprofits and manage donated money and assets to provide grants for community projects. This week on Local Motion, we'll hear from three Western Slope foundations about the support they provide for local education, health, and social issues. We'll start things off with an overview of Rural Philanthropy Days, an event held twice a year which connects Front Range foundations with rural nonprofits that need their support. Elaine Brett was the co-chair of Rural Philanthropy Days, or RPD, this past summer in the North Fork Valley. I asked her how RPD got started.
Rural Philanthropy Days actually started about 27 years ago. Some of the folks in the world of fundraising and funding started to look at why the rural areas of Colorado were not getting really their fair share of funds from the big Colorado funders.
What percentage of funding was from funders was just going to the Front Range?
Most of it. And so the Anschutz Foundation, they started looking at why. Why was that happening? Why weren't the rural areas getting funded? Why were the needs so great? And they came up with really three things. And those three things are what RPD addresses and what it has done for the last 27 years. And the three things they identified were, one, the nonprofits away from the Denver metro area were not getting access to learning and how to be a good nonprofit, how to be a good organization, how to write grant applications. They weren't having access to the learning environment for nonprofit management. The second thing that they noticed was that the funders didn't have access to the rural areas. They were sitting in their Denver offices and reading the applications, and they really had no idea what these rural areas looked like, what the needs were, and who the people were who were working out here. And the third thing was really putting the two groups together, building an access so that funders could meet nonprofit leaders and have that face-to-face relationship building that really is required in order to get the attention and to really understand the needs of any area or any organization. So since that time, RPD has tried to build that into the program, and certainly it was built into the program here in the North Fork Valley to bring funders here so that they could see our little towns, they could see our organizations. So we had over 65 funders from 40 different organizations that came for the three-day conference back in June. We had an excellent educational program that spanned all aspects of nonprofit management. And then finally, the networking piece, all throughout the program, we built that in and had the opportunities for people to sit down at the table with the head of the Anschutz Foundation or the program managers from Colorado Health Foundation or any number of the foundations that you'd see each other as human beings and be able to begin that relationship would then help in the grant making process.
So the conference occurs in different parts of the state, right?
Each year there are two Philanthropy Day events, two conferences in different parts of the state. And one will happen in June and the other one in September. So there's a frequency of about once every 4 years it returns back to a particular area. These small areas, you can imagine, couldn't put on a conference that basically runs about $100,000 without the help of the Anschutz Foundation and CRC. States really point to Colorado as a leader in trying to build these kind of relationships and trying to figure out the right formula.
So what happens at the conference? You know, like in the event that was here in Paonia this summer, who were the kind of people who were attending and what foundations were there and what went on?
We had a very, very strong turnout. In fact, we sold out a good 6 to 7 weeks prior to the conference, which is kind of unheard of. So we welcomed about 390 attendees in total. 60 to 70 of those were from foundations and funding organizations. Most of the rest were from nonprofit groups that were from five different counties. So our philanthropy days encompassed Delta County, Mesa County, Garfield, Pitkin, and Eagle counties. And so folks came from all of those areas to Paonia and Hotchkiss to participate in the conference. The rest were folks from state agencies and organizations and consultants and people who, speakers and people who were invited to share in it. So we had a really, really good turnout, about 250 grant seekers and about 60 or 70 grant makers.
For some of those grant makers, had they ever been onto the Western Slope before?
Some of them had. Many of them had not. And it gave them a good taste of what we have to offer here in the Valley. And again, what is important to us. Our land and our water and the landscape and agriculture is very important here. That may be different in other areas. So they get to see it firsthand.
So you said that you've already started to see some results from that conference.
I look at it really in immediate and then long-term kind of consequences. In the immediate, the conference itself brought in, we estimated, probably about $250,000 into Delta County. The second thing is the longer term, which really comes about from the funding and from the folks that took it seriously, went back to their desks and they started applying immediately for grants. And in that, we are starting to see some results right now. There are a number of organizations who have reported that they've been successful in their grants. The Paradise Theater received $25,000 for a senior program that they're doing. North Fork Senior Connections, a nice organization here in the North Fork Valley that serves the senior population, also received a nice grant from an organization called Next 50. The Blue Sage received a nice grant for their building repairs. And the town of Paonia did receive a GoCo grant for planning for parks and trails. So those are rolling in. We've also seen some activity from the Western Colorado Community Foundation. One of the folks that received for agriculture education was the Valley Organic Growers Association. Typically, what happens is it'll take through the next 3 to 4 years to see all of the impact because of grant cycles, because of deadlines, and just, you know, people continuing to build relationships and continuing to work with the funders. So we'll be looking over the next several years of what the total impact is. Generally, what an area sees, however, when they've hosted an RPD is 65% to 70% increase in funding over those next 3 years.
That's a big impact.
Yes, it really is, and much needed here in Delta County as well as the surrounding counties.
And that was Elaine Brett of Paonia, who co-chaired a recent Rural Philanthropy Days event. Next, we'll hear from Teddy Gillespie, Grants and Community Outreach Director for Western Colorado Community Foundation. I asked her to describe what community foundations do and how the Western Colorado Community Foundation operates. If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion, and I'm Jody Peterson.
Basically, community foundations are an organization that helps manage people's charitable giving. So our community foundation is a regional community foundation. We cover seven counties on the Western Slope, so Eagle, Garfield County, Rio Blanco, Mesa, Delta, Montrose, and Ouray. We're also a little bit in San Juan County as well. And what we do is work with donors who are charitably minded, and we help manage their invested charitable giving as well as help them with strategic giving to really make a better place right where they live.
I understand that the Western Colorado Community Foundation operates many different funds. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
So we have a number of different types of funds. The most flexible is a donor-advised fund. We have designated funds where our donors can set up an organization or a number of organizations to receive the earnings or the gifts from their funds every year. We have field of interest funds that address certain sectors of needs in our community. So we have a basic needs fund, children's health, a teen suicide prevention fund. We now have a fund set up to address housing in Mesa County. And then we have scholarship funds.
The West Elk Community Fund is one of a family of geography-based funds, right? A small disclaimer here. KVNF recently received a grant from the West Elk Community Fund, which is part of WCCF, to buy recording equipment.
Our West Elk Community Fund is one of six geographic funds where we help folks within the community set up a fund that they then direct as community leaders.
And what are the other geographic funds?
So we have Mount Callahan for the Battlement Mesa parachute area, and we have a geographic fund in Garfield County, which is called the Two Rivers Unrestricted Fund in Ouray. That's the Ouray County Community Fund. We have a small Mesa County small grants fund as well. We have a lot of donors who want to give where they live and make an impact in the place that they call home. So they're very drawn to a process where we, as the Community Foundation, help. We're kind of the back end administrative, so we help run the grants process. It's really the local community leaders that are driving the process.
You said there's about $80 million in assets?
We manage about $80 million in net assets. And what that means is one of the things that people are attracted to with a community foundation is that we manage that money as endowments for the most part. So people invest the money and we pool their money so that they're getting a better investment return and they're not paying all the fees of investing it themselves for that charitable purpose. And then that money grows in perpetuity. It's here for good, for the community, forever.
What are some of the major projects that have been supported over the years?
For example, with the scholarships, that's, you know, anywhere between $500,000 and $800,000 every year in scholarships that are going out across our seven counties to graduates to help them realize their dream of a college education. That's a tremendous legacy for people to be able to leave to help the next generation. Another big thing we talk about, we've got a designated fund in Mesa County that supports eight nonprofit organizations, and it's given away hundreds of thousands of dollars. The other thing that our community foundation has started to move towards in the past 5 years or so is our leadership work. And so our first leadership initiative was around child hunger, and we recognize that as a small community foundation on the Western Slope, we probably didn't have the capacity to eliminate hunger in our country, but we could certainly address it across our seven counties. And one of the things we realized with children's hunger is that many of our county school districts have well over 50% of children on free and reduced lunches. And that means that, you know, those kids are really struggling to eat and less able to learn as their peers are. So what we did is launch a pilot program in Mesa County called the Lunch Lizard, because the grants that were available for our school district here in Mesa County were ending. And that meant there was no summer school, and that meant the kids were going to go without those free and reduced lunches that they had every day. So we partnered with our school district and paid for the first food truck called the Lunch Lizard to go out and deliver the meals around our county. This year, they serve over 36,000 meals. So, you know, it's out there feeding hungry kids. The leadership work is really where the Community Foundation brings a lot of the different aspects of what we do to bear. We research the issue. We convene partners in the community to help identify the gaps in services. We look for innovative type of solutions to the needs, and then we convene as many donors as we can around those issues and, you know, sort of harness and direct a significant amount of funding at that problem or issue to try and solve it or at least address it.
People are giving money to the Western Colorado Community Foundation that they perhaps might otherwise give to a nonprofit directly. Do you ever hear any complaints from individual nonprofits that, you know, their major donors have given their money to a foundation rather than directly to an individual nonprofit?
Not at all. We're not here to supplant the direct giving to the organizations. And in fact, we don't just give resources to nonprofit organizations. We work with nonprofits on a lot of different levels in trying to help them build their sustainability, in, you know, working with various groups to offer professional training and networking opportunities. But the most valuable thing I think that our nonprofits see is that we help to connect our donors with their organizations and their projects. A lot of times we're working with donors that are not sure what the organizations are in a given community, especially when you have a lot of newcomers, which we do on the Western Slope, wanting to know and learn about the various ways that they can have their charitable dollars impact, right? So we always say we connect donors who care with causes that matter. And I think our nonprofits really see the value of that because in actuality, we are bringing a lot more funding and grants to their organization and to the issue because donors have that trust level and because they're coming through us to really have a handle in our different communities on the needs that are there and the people that are working to solve them.
We just heard from Teddy Gillespie of the Western Colorado Community Foundation. Next, I talked to Sheila Grother, who's on the board of the Lone Cone Legacy Trust, based in Norwood. She described her organization.
The Lone Cone Legacy Trust was established in 2013 as a local endowment to support the communities of Norwood and Wrights Mesa, the area immediately surrounding Norwood. The Telluride Foundation started the concept of Rural Community Trust in 2012. The concept of creating these funds was to encourage the rural community residents to think about leaving a small portion of their estates to their community. By creating a locally controlled endowment fund, communities would be able to support their own projects and programs, as well as have the match funding that is needed to apply for other grants. It's key that local residents have the ability to raise, control, and decide how the money is spent.
Can you describe the Lone Cone Legacy Trust and how it operates?
The Lone Cone Legacy Trust is a board of local citizens who meet monthly. We are a 501c3 through the Telluride Foundation, and the Telluride Foundation assists with investment expertise and bookkeeping management. But every goal and every grant and every decision we made is made by the local board.
So where does the funding come from? Is it all from, you know, as you're talking about, local families who have wealth to pass on?
Our funding comes entirely from local donations, from members of the community, and from our one annual fundraiser. We have a harvest dinner and silent auction every October.
What kinds of projects does Lone Cone fund?
You know, in the past, we have funded projects that involve the school. We did a playground at the preschool. There's a community garden in Norwood that required some money to help with their raw water project, and we were able to give them some money. And then there's a new pickleball court in Norwood that we were able to fund. Another example we did this year, Norwood was getting close to losing its rodeo for lack of funding, and we were able to give $1,500 to the local rodeo to assure that that program continued this year and hopefully on into the future.
In general, how would you describe the kinds of things that you fund?
We fund projects that are for the community through either nonprofits or local government.
So what are some of the other major accomplishments that you can point to that were funded by Lone Cone?
Well, we currently have built up a $70,000 endowment, and that's significant, although it's not very far along the road to our goal of $1 million. We'd really like to have $1 million set aside for projects that we can give 5%, you know, per year to the community. So if we had $1 million, we could get $50,000 into various projects. We also have long-term goals that are big and grandiose and wonderful. We'd love to see, you know, things like a swimming pool. But those are way, way down the road. We want to see our community grow and develop. We want it to be a great place for families to come and live and reap the rewards of what we're doing now. And we recognize that most of our board members are not young folks anymore, although we have a few. We recognize that we may not even live to see some of these projects, but we'd be really happy to have been the beginning of some really interesting things in the future.
Can you talk a little bit about the Paradox Community Trust and other community trusts that are affiliated?
Through the Telluride Foundation, there are currently three trusts that are active. There's the West End Pay It Forward Trust in Nucla and Naderita, and there's the RICO Community Trust Fund.
And are they similar to the Loan Cone Legacy Trust in terms of funding community projects?
Yeah, I think everybody's goal is very, very similar as far as finding the funds to manage various local projects. Each community trust has their own board and is locally managed and makes their decisions on their own in whatever way they see fit.
What do you hope Loan Cone Legacy Trust will accomplish long term?
You know, our ultimate goal is to see our community continue to thrive and grow and be a great place for families to come and live. To get a hold of us and find more information, our website is loanconelegacy.org, all spelled out, LoanconeLegacy.org. Our email with questions is loanconelegacytrust@gmail.com.
And that was Sheila Grother of the Loan Cone Legacy Trust. This is Local Motion on KVNF. We're talking about philanthropic foundations and their impact on Western Slope communities. Our final interview today is with Diana McPhail, acting CEO of Next 50 Initiative.
Next 50 Initiative is a Colorado-based private foundation dedicated to funding mission-driven initiatives that improve the lives of older adult population and their caregivers and disrupt the present concept of aging. Though there are other foundations that may have aging as a funding priority, but we seek to fund game-changing efforts to improve and sustain the quality of life for people in their second 50 years and really create vibrancy as the expectation for life after 50. Right now, we currently fund nonprofit organizations and government entities working to eliminate aging stereotypes, pioneer technologies that bring vibrancy to life after 50, and challenge the status quo to transform our world for generations to come. And one of our favorite quotes here in the office is, "Today is the oldest you've ever been and the youngest you'll ever be again." That was said by Eleanor Roosevelt. We're all aging. So that's really why Next 50 Initiative exists.
Out here on the Western Slope, I think we have a really rapidly growing retirement population. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of projects you've done specifically on the Western Slope?
Next 50 Initiative recognizes that Colorado is a very large state, and the Denver metro area has resources available that are not necessarily available to rural communities, including the Western Slope. So we are very intentional about reaching out to rural communities and counties and supporting them as they work to change the experience of aging for their residents. And we are continually seeking ways to spread the word about the availability of our funding to these communities. So I encourage your listeners to please go to our website at www.next50initiative.org to learn more about us, as we would love to be able to fund more projects and initiatives on the Western Slope. Some of the projects that we funded on the Western Slope state, though, include the Colorado Mesa University for their project to improve health outcomes among older adults in Western Colorado while reducing the cost of healthcare delivery, the Crown Mountain and Wellness Playground for older adults located in El Jebel that was created to reduce isolation and increase physical wellness.
What are some of the other Western Slope projects?
So KSUT Public Radio's Native Braids Elder Youth Storytelling Project is geared towards the Ute tribe and helping them to encourage intergenerational communication and understanding among their elders as well as their youth to facilitate empathy, understanding of where one another is coming from, and also keep those stories in the common space. And then we also fund the Tri-County Health Network and Teletherapy for Adults 50 and over in San Miguel, Ouray, and West Montrose counties. And the intent of this project is to really recognize the need for mental health services, yet also recognizing that due to the rural component, seeking out providers can be quite difficult. So through this telehealth model, they are able to provide behavioral and mental health services to older adults. And they don't even have to leave their home if they don't want to. So it's really working toward changing the stigma about mental health and making it available for all. See, the Colorado Center for the Blind also used some funding from us to expand their Denver-based program for older adults and held a week-long intensive residential training in Grand Junction to encourage independence by helping blind older adults practice and perform everyday activities. You know, as I've mentioned before, we are continually trying to seek to expand our presence in the Western Slope, and we welcome grant applications for the Western Slope projects. And so please, again, I encourage your listeners to go to our website and call with any questions if they have a project that they think might be within our funding guidelines. 303-547-1800.
So what are some of the big things you're working on now?
One of the big things that we're really excited about is, even though we've only been making grants for a little over 2 years, you know, we've already made 160 grants and awarded over $22 million to nonprofits doing wonderful work to change the landscape of aging. And in addition to our general funding, we also recently launched two new funding opportunities that are specific to Colorado, our general funding. We do fund other opportunities outside the state. But the Community Response Fund and the Collective Impact Challenge Grant are both restricted to Colorado. And the purpose of the Community Response Fund is to address a one-time need of an organization that does not necessarily fit within our general funding program, but that would have an immediate impact on the organization's capacity to serve older adults. Now, though this fund is not exclusive to rural communities, knowing what some of the challenges smaller and rural nonprofits face in obtaining funding was really the impetus for Next 50 Initiative creating the Community Response Fund. Our next grant opportunity that's coming up is the Collective Impact Challenge Grant, and that's a one-time challenge grant for projects in which three or more organizations are collaborating to create collective impact on the older adult population here in Colorado. One grant of up to $1 million over a maximum of 2 years may be awarded. So those are two new funding opportunities that we're really excited to launch and talk about.
And what are the funding cycles for Next 50 Initiative?
We do have two general funding cycles a year, but our next cycle opens January 15th and closes on February 28th. We encourage any interested organizations to review our funding guidelines and, if appropriate, call and schedule time with one of our program officers to discuss the project, and our program officers will be able to give better guidance on things that might strengthen the application or any other input that they may have for the applicants.
And we just heard from Diana McPhail of Next 50 Initiative. We'll close today's show on Western Slope Foundations with some final thoughts on the role of philanthropy from Elaine Brett.
Something that has become more important to me personally is the idea of philanthropy and what we can all do in our local communities to create better places. Most of the tax initiatives didn't pass, and those had big effects on our libraries, our schools, our police, and people don't want taxes in Colorado. But Coloradans are very generous and will give in different ways. And by giving through foundations and community funds, people can find an outlet to having the things accomplished that they want in their local areas. Recently at a conference, a gentleman said, "There are plenty of givers here in this state. We just don't have enough askers." So I would encourage nonprofits and people who feel like they're missing something in their community to ask.
And that was Elaine Brett of Paonia, who co-chaired a recent Rural Philanthropy Days event. Next, we'll hear from Teddy Gillespie, Grants and Community Outreach Director for Western Colorado Community Foundation. I asked her to describe what community foundations do and how the Western Colorado Community Foundation operates. If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion, and I'm Jody Peterson. That concludes this episode, and thanks for tuning in to Local Motion. I'm Jody Peterson, and you can find today's program and many others at kvnf.org.